The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful afternoon, at least it is when we're recording, another one of our monthly installments. It is a You Ask, We Answer episode. We're answering your questions, and we're also addressing a issue that we got a couple emails about this saying you should do an episode about this, but also it's kind of hard to ignore, and that is a giant wedding venue nationwide that in the past week closed completely.
It's a chain, so right? It's a chain.
It's a chain where each one of them looks different, but they're all like high end.
They're high end?
Well, that's what they want to be, uh-huh. Right? They're inclusive packages. They're not cheap, mm-hmm. and they it's high capacity. So it can have like, you could do a big Indian wedding. You could do a huge guest count at these venues for the most part. And it's called Noah's. So we'll go into some detail about that too. But yeah, welcome. We're glad you're here.
We're very glad you're here for this 27th You Ask, We Answer. That's a lot. So I feel like wedding season is slowly starting to drum up for me. I'm getting a lot of last minute inquiries, which I love personally. I'm getting, this year feels like the year of people planning their weddings in, you know, 6 months or less for me.
Hmm.
And that's my favorite.
So when you say last minute, you mean you're getting inquiries now for like September wedding?
Yeah, like I'm not, at least not yet. I used to be. It goes in spurts. But like I wasn't one of those planners who were like, oh yeah, I'm fully booked for 2020. Nor do I, quote, fully book myself. I don't take on a ton of weddings. So I'm getting these inquiries now since the beginning of the year. And, you know, my furthest out wedding is September. That's the furthest out. And they just hired me. So, and then I've got another one in June. And I just sent a contract for one at the end of May. And I love this.
That's awesome.
And they're full planning. So like, and all of them, all they have is the venue. That's all they have. And they need everything else. The venue and I think all of them, except for one, like have what they're wearing. But that's it. They mm-hmm. need everything else. And they're coming at me like, okay, can you do this for me? Because it's too much. And I love it because we've talked about this before. Like I think planning a wedding in a 6 month period is lovely. You may not have your biggest selection of wedding professionals, maybe, but there's still availability. I'm still able to book great photographers.
There's so many where you
there's
are.
There's so many where
like,
I am.
It's this so many true. In every category.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe not where you are, but.
Yeah, or in a small, like not a small town, that definitely has limited, but like a smaller city with less cities around it than if you have an October 10-10-2020 wedding and you don't start planning it until May, you might be in a little bit of trouble.
10-10-2020.
But for the most part, you can find your professionals.
Yeah. And I mean, I just think it's just such a lovely thing to not have a year to make a decision. You know, to have less time. So you just like cut through all the bullshit, find the good ones, you know, weigh out your options really quick on paper, you know, and be like, I like the way we spoke on the phone. I love their work. Let's do it. Book it.
Yeah, less hemming and hawing, more making decisions and moving on, which is much easier when you have a wedding planner.
100%.
Because you can say, we really loved photographer A, but we just got this like vibe from him. We don't really know why we loved him. What do you think about his contract? And then when you say, it looks great, that's just enough of a push to get them out of like doubt land into signing the contract.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes if you feel really good about something, but you second guess yourself because you're like, yeah, but who are we? We've never hired a wedding photographer before. We don't know the difference between this contract and this contract. And if this looks terrible, and just because we got a good feeling from him doesn't mean we should give him $8,000, right?
Right.
But maybe it does.
Well, and I'm on the phone with them. I'm like, okay, let's set up a call to chat. And I'm asking, this is what I do. The first time I speak to a photographer with a couple, I have the couple on the phone and I ask all the technical questions with the couple listening, because I want them to know what I'm asking technically. And they'd be like, afterwards, I was like, oh my God, I didn't even, like, why did you ask that? Or that was interesting, or blah, 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 right? And then after that, I'll say, you know what, let me screen the photographer first on the phone really quick. And then if I'm satisfied with all the technical stuff, let me put you all on the phone together. Because what happens is, and this is something else, you guys, I'm really curious to know how y'all feel about this out there. The vendors, the wedding professionals, ask the same questions to the couple all the time. They want to connect, and it makes sense. Like, they want to hear about the couple's story. Like, when did you get engaged? How did she propose? How long have you been dating? What do you guys like to do together? And so I'm listening to my couples tell the same story over and over and over again. And I wonder, are you just like so tired of telling this story to every single, you know, potential wedding professional? It's interesting.
Yeah, I bet they are.
Anyway, I think that must be like, well, all right. Or, you know, to some people, they might be like, yeah, I love this story. I'm going to tell it again.
For photography specifically, listen to that episode with Kathy Thomas. Thomas, she runs down a list of great technical questions.
Which I ask because of that interview with her. Like, some
we're
of them I knew.
We're talking about the photography's equipment, their assistant, how they work with a second shooter, but also, it seems simple, but when you're talking to a photographer and all you're thinking about is your wedding day, you might forget some of those things. So
that's number,
listen to that episode.
Number 130, must ask photographer questions with Kathy Thomas, our girl. She's pretty sweet. Some of you have hired her, actually. It's my favorite time of the month. I need a little reviews jingle, like a little song.
I think you just did it. Just do that every time.
I'll record myself and then just have that Veronica edit it in. All right, I'll start with February 4th. 5 stars, titled Amazing Podcast by Clarice Gomez. Michelle and Christy, hosts of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, highlights all aspects of wedding and more in this can't-miss podcast. The hosts and expert guests offer insightful advice and information that is helpful to anyone that listens. Thank you, Clarice.
I think she's in the Facebook group also. I think
that's awesome.
I recognize that name. Thank you. Hello. Okay, this one is February 11th, best wedding podcast, period. We trust this reviewer's, we trust her. Her name is Dixie Lee, and we know her, yes?
Do you think it's the same Dixie?
I'm almost positive.
Because I thought the other Dixie already left a review. This might be a different, there are other Dixies.
There are, and she's... It didn't say, it's not the same last name,
No. But
the, you know, you get put in any name. But she's such a fan. Like, she actually listens to every episode and comments and sends us things on it. So if it is the same, we see you, we love you.
And if it's not the same, we still see you and love you, the other Dixie.
Yeah, both. These ladies are an absolute hoot. They're both so fun and entertaining. They have such great chemistry. I just lost it. They are a wealth of knowledge when it comes to all things wedding. You will feel like you've known them forever. You will want them to be a part of your wedding planning. You will learn something new every time you listen and be entertained. It is the best wedding podcast ever.
Woo! Love that. All right, next one. 5 stars, and the title is Listening for 3 Years. Wow. By Real Life Bride. My wedding has come and gone, and I still listen to this podcast. I am a bridesmaid for life, it seems, and I'll be officiating my cousin's wedding this summer. Christy and Michelle are fun and informative, and the podcast really will help you plan your wedding. Decisions become clearer, and logistics are broken down in a really conversational way. There is an episode for every aspect of wedding planning. Check it out. What? See, some people do listen after the wedding.
Yes.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you, you lovely, lovely human.
And the last one for now is best wedding podcast 5 stars from BK26505.
BK26505.
Leaving another review.
Almost.
Oh, her second review. Because why not? I've truly enjoyed every episode that has been put out. My fiance even started listening to them with me on long car rides. This has made a huge difference in motivating him to plan with me. I cannot say enough wonderful things about this podcast. I never want to stop listening. Thank goodness I still have another year and a half until we get married.
Woo! Damn! This is amazing. You all are amazing. Thank you so much for this. Love it. Okay. We've got a lot. So,
yeah. So the first.
You got to talk about topic, this because I really don't know about this.
Yeah. The first topic, instead of a question, is this Noah's venue closing. So I know we have some listeners who had a Noah's venue. So if you did, we would love to hear from you. So this is a big chain of wedding venues. Turns out, they're all closed. Social media's gone. Phone calls are not being answered. Messages are not being returned. Like, people are screwed. 7,500 brides and grooms.
That is
totally
so much.
Screwed. Yep.
That is so crazy.
There are tons of.
I've never heard of these places. Where? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, they're like in. I mean, there are several in Texas where I was.
They have any in California?
Yeah, so they're all closed. It's like when a restaurant closes and the staff doesn't even know, you know, and you go to work and there's literally a sign on the door that says closed, go home. Like, it's just gone. So they had, I think, 500 employees and 30 or 40 venues at the time that they are all closed. And I read that they were over $50 million in debt. So a bankruptcy action is going to be what happens next. And that means that very likely none of these couples will get their money back without a long litigation process. So what to do if you are out there searching for venues and you are terrified because you are reading what's happening to Noah's right now? And there are all kinds of horror stories. There's one couple that was on their way to Hawaii where their real ceremony was going to be. And they, like, just their ceremony, and then they were going to come back to Kansas or wherever and have their big party with all their friends and family. And they're on the plane to Hawaii. They get off the plane to the news that Noah's is closed. And there's also not a across the board. So obviously it's poorly run and it was poorly managed and the business was a mess. To be $50 million in debt is crazy for a wedding venue.
Yeah.
So it's, there's a lot of problems, but one thing is that they're, each venue did paperwork differently and did deposits differently. So it wasn't like if you book a Noah's venue, you're put $2,000 down and that's your deposit. They would do it per event. Some people put as much as $17,000 down as their deposit because it included things like upgraded linens and bar estimates, which is crazy. You should most venues and caterers do not do it that way, where you're paying that much ahead of time, well ahead of time as a deposit. Yeah. So anyways, a bunch of nightmares. It sounds horrible. I'm in touch with a bunch of industry people in Dallas still, and they're all a Twitter about this because there are many NOAA's venues out there. Wow. And other venues are trying to step in and like cutting deals for any NOAA's couples that call them to say like, oh, what are we going to do? It's a month away and we have 300 people. And vendors are stepping up, which is great and kind of heartening. Like, this is a community. People are stepping in. But people can't take the wedding for free. So there's still an element of, like, absolute loss. So like I said, 7,500 brides and grooms do not have their venue now. And if you're thinking about booking a venue, we cannot stress enough that, yes, this is a nightmare. This would be a nightmare if we were your planner. But you have to read the contracts very carefully, especially with something brick and mortar like a venue like this. I mean, with every vendor.
They,
but
they
this will be one
have
of your
some sort of clause in there saying that they're not at fault. Or I mean, and the thing is, if somebody goes bankrupt, there's kind of nothing you could do. Like, they go bankrupt, they're bankrupt.
Yeah, like the contract would say, if we close, you'll get your money back. But the caveat is the bankruptcy, because there is no money to give back.
Right.
So it will take extensive lawsuits, I imagine. Also, like, we're wedding planners. And if this were one of my venues and one of my couples and they called and I found out NOAA's and all this stuff, it would be a nightmare. I don't know that I would know exactly what to do, except I would hit the ground running to solve the problems moving forward.
Well, yeah, but book another venue.
Yeah, but I wouldn't know legally how to go about recouping the deposit. So all we can tell you, because we're not lawyers, is read the contracts very carefully, ask a lot of questions, get everything in writing, and also wedding day insurance would help mitigate this after the fact. That being said, bankrupt is bankrupt, and I don't know who's going to get any money. I would love to – I'll keep – you know, researching and reading about this, but I would love to hear from any of you that are in the process of dealing with this. Yeah. And it sucks. And there's just no way around it. It sucks. It doesn't happen that often, but it did happen to me. My own wedding venue shut down and was sold. It was a building that was sold. The whole building was sold. 4 weeks before my wedding day. Mm. And that planner, who was fired, because they worked at this place that is now not a place, on her own time helped to make phone calls to other places to, like, see if, you know, she could get me in the door somewhere else. And it ended up being for the best, which it often is. So, you know, don't despair. Try to keep your eye on the prize here and just, like, keep moving forward and then deal with recouping any loss afterwards. You can do it. You can plan this wedding. People are going to be understanding. You know, try to keep your head up.
Yeah. Man, that sucks. I'm so sorry to hear that. Anybody out there affected by this?
There was a catering company when I worked in Dallas, and they fled to Mexico with a shitload of deposits. A catering company.
Really?
Yeah, and everyone kind of knew, like, in the industry, I didn't know the guy, but everyone was like, oh my God, is that, like, all these couples were affected. And so the industry was all talking on our, you know, Facebook boards and stuff like, oh, I knew that was going to happen. He did this before with another company. He ran into the ground, but he, like, went on the lam. Like, he straight up stole this money from couples and left the country.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, you know, this is not an industry without its charlatans and poorly run businesses and drama. And it goes for every vendor you hire. You should be hiring a professional that has a contract that would pass a basic contract test. Okay? Yeah. So just, you know, keep that in mind.
And now it's time for a word from our sponsor, or rather us saying some words about our lovely sponsor, Zola, Z-O-L-A. There are about a million choices to make when you're planning a wedding. Like really, truly a million.
We're going to do a million episodes.
We're going to do a million episodes. But luckily, Zola has helped over 1 million couples get married. And they have everything you need to plan your wedding. Zola makes wedding planning easier and less stressful with wedding websites, registry, invites, and a handy guest list manager all in one place.
We love Zola. We talk about Zola all the time to our clients, anybody that's creating a website, anybody that needs anything registry related. Like, we seriously stand by Zola. So we're telling you, just like we tell our own clients, and if we could plan our own weddings again, we would be using Zola to help us with that. So the wedding website is imperative, especially yes. if you're going to have a destination wedding. We talk about this all the time, and almost all weddings are in some way destination at this point. Yeah. So check it out for the free wedding website. Your guests can find all the wedding info in one place. There are really cool features like an FAQ page, an online RSVP page, and of course, links to your registry right on the site. And speaking of the registry, this is where Zola started. We love browsing the registry. It has a ton of awesome gifts. It's easy to use, it's flexible, and guests can get you the gifts you actually want. Even if they're from other stores, you can sync existing registries, and there's really cool things like experiences and honeymoon funds other than just like a mixer you can put in your kitchen. But of course, there's that as well. And free shipping and price matching.
And really great customer service. I had a client trying to input her Excel guest list into Zola. She was having trouble and she found somebody on the phone and they're like, here, just can you just email me the spreadsheet? And the person at Zola had it uploaded within like 5 minutes for her. That was impressive.
Hand-holding.
Yeah.
We love that.
So they also have paper, your perfect wedding paper. They handle the design and the logistics. You can do your whole paper suite here, you guys. You can do your save the dates, your invites, your thank you cards, tons of gorgeous, affordable cards for every wedding style, all designed to match Zola's free wedding websites. So it's like, you know, seamless, beautiful, all matchy-matchy and goes well together.
Boom. Zola.com. Zola.com/big wedding. Go to Zola.com/big wedding today and use promo code SAVE50 to get 50% off your save the dates. You can also get a free personalized paper sample before you purchase. That's 50% off save the dates at Zola.com/big wedding. Promo code SAVE50, SAVE50.
There you go. Thank you, Zola. All right. Let's go to a listener question now. This is regarding alcohol, booze or no booze?
Yeah.
I have been loving binging the podcast. I'm about 100 episodes in and still going. I'm a college student, so time for listening is limited. I'm a young bride, and my family hasn't had any recent weddings, so mine is the first one in a while. Our wedding isn't until May 2021, and we are on a tight budget. My fiancé and I have been struggling with a decision regarding alcohol. My family is extremely conservative, and they don't like alcohol. His family couldn't care less. They might drink some. We both think it would be nice to have a signature cocktail or something simple, but have reservations due to my family's judgment. I don't want to feel scrutinized on my wedding day for having a drink. My parents are contributing a lot to the wedding and wouldn't be too happy to have alcohol there. However, our friends' bridal party would our friends and bridal party would definitely be let down with a dry wedding. We're also a little concerned our friends may go a little crazy since we're the first wedding of the group. We don't want anyone getting really drunk at the reception and would like to save that type of energy for the after party. So how can we please all of our guests and ourselves as the couple, our friends who like to, quote, have fun, and my family who hates the thought of alcohol? Any guidance would be helpful. We're just torn. Thank you for all your help you've provided me thus far on the podcast.
Okay, so I wrote back, and I am curious, Michelle, if you would agree with me on these answers, because it was one of them that as a wedding planner, I was like, oh, this is an easy one. Here's what I think. I totally understand your conundrum. What are the hours of your reception? If you're having an after party and you're concerned about guests getting too crazy at the reception, then I think you can definitely keep it on the shorter side, like have only an hour of open dancing rather than two plus. During this time, I think you can compromise with the alcohol. And I think the best way to do this is to only have one or two options and for them both to be light cocktails. For example, a mimosa has far less alcohol content than a vodka tonic. Having bartenders that have been instructed to only serve the cocktails mixed, so nobody can go up and order a mimosa, hold the juice, and not to pour anything super strong, also not to pour for guests that appear tipsy or are acting rowdy. Or if you still want to have a long, let's say, traditional dinner reception, just cut the bar completely after an hour or an hour of drinking post dinner. So it's there, it's free, it's still limited choice, maybe beer and wine, and then it's just closed. Your friends drink it and then it's closed. And I mean, no one's going to come up to you at the wedding and be like, oh, how come you closed the bar? Like, it's just closed. They walk away. They bring the booze. It's done. Keep in mind also that a beer wine reception always has less drunk people than a reception that serves hard alcohol. Almost in every occasion, I would say. I agree with you, though. If I was in college or in my early 20s and I went to a friend's wedding, it would be a bummer if it was dry. Yeah. I have been to plenty of dry weddings, really? But they were, yeah, I have, but they were all of friends that I knew were very religious and whose families were really religious. Or a brunch wedding. Brunch weddings, and since your wedding is not for another year plus, you might have time to plan this. But a brunch wedding is far more chill. And you could do like an espresso bar or a smoothie bar in place of a bar. Mm-hmm. And you could still do mimosas, which are very light in terms of alcohol. Like, it takes a lot of mimosas to get drunk. I've for sure gotten drunk on bottomless mimosas myself in an embarrassing fashion. My brother would love to tell you about that story. But at a wedding, you know, one or two, and you're not going to have another one. Also, if you have a brunch, then you can have a bomb after party at like a beer garden or a pub or somewhere that's just you and your friends, and you can celebrate more there without feeling like you're disrespecting your parents. How does that sound?
I think that sounds beautiful. I think you answered it wonderfully. I would do the same. I would recommend beer and wine only, or perhaps, and then at dinner, you know, perhaps just a champagne toast. And then don't open up the bar again until dancing. And perhaps only have 1 hour of bar, or have the 1 hour bar during cocktail reception, champagne and wine for dinner only. But after that, the bar is cash only. And that might deter them as well, especially kids in college. They might not have a lot of money to be buying a lot of drinks. And you could just verbally tell everybody, we're going to have this after party and, you know, you'll have opportunity.
Yeah. And I do think you need to hire professional bartenders in this case, even if it's something really simple, it's only 2 hours and it's only beer and wine. That will go maybe a long way with convincing your parents that it's going to be kept on the up and up.
Yeah, and
no one's going to be doing shots. The bartenders are not going to overserve. And you have professionals back there instead of like a keg.
And I want to go back to this listener's kind of note is like, I don't want to be made to feel bad that I am having a drink at my wedding. Like, you should have a drink at your wedding. You should have alcohol at your wedding if that's what you want. And your parents, I'm sure, are used to the world around them, you know, where alcohol is everywhere and they choose not to partake. So I don't want you to feel bad about that either. It's your wedding day. You want to have fun. You want to have a drink. You're probably not a big drinker either. Just make sure you are hydrating really, really well. And
yeah, the most their hearts are going to be broken is if you and your fiance act a fool and embarrass them. And then they can say, see, this is why we didn't want to have alcohol there. Now you've put a stain on our family's history. So, you know, watch yourself. You know your parents.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Next question from our listener. A few loose ends as planning winds down.
So I titled that because this listener wrote four questions in her email, but they were all in that theme of like, you know, kind of the last bit of planning. And I thought they were all good questions. So I appreciated like the thoughtfulness. We haven't addressed all of these in a while.
All right. So one of the questions is, what do you do when there isn't much left to do? I feel like I'm on high alert every day on what I could be maybe forgetting. I feel like I hear a lot about beginning stages and big decisions of wedding planning, but not the end stages of it.
Well, you take a long bath and you masturbate if you have time.
Oh, yay.
I did not respond that way, but now that I'm thinking about it, I should have. What do you do when there isn't much left to do? when in my life, Michelle, am I like, well, there isn't much left to do?
No.
Like, I'm like, cross one thing off my to-do list, add seven more like manic things. So I think you should just enjoy the feeling of not having much to do. That sounds amazing. But here's what I wrote. It might make you feel better to just reach out to every key vendor and check in, review the details, and get them to confirm. It does always make me feel more confident to get those emails back if I'm saying I'm like in your shoes now. So I like to get those emails back. Then they say, yep, we're all good. You don't owe a balance and we'll be there at 9 a.m. So they've confirmed all the final details. It might give you a little bit of confidence going into it. You can also list out all of the items that you will be bringing. If you haven't done that already, we talked about that in a couple episodes, pack them up, label the boxes, create a key so that no matter who transports all this stuff and sets it up, they'll know exactly what to do. So that's, you know, I don't know, it's a couple hours out of your weekend. And then also put together a little personal emergency kit for yourself if you haven't done that yet either. So that's my answer to question one.
Okay, the next question is one of my favorite things to teach a couple on the wedding day.
Yes.
Her question is it a her, by the way? I'm assuming that.
I think it is, yes. Okay.
I don't know where we should start cutting the cake. From the top tier? From the middle? Who is supposed to cut and serve it? Can I ask a bartender to do this? Or would I be an asshole for asking? that's funny.
Okay. So you do need to ask your cake baker exactly where to cut the cake. This is a great question. If you have a planner like Michelle, she will happily walk you through this part during the reception. I would too. If not, then you need to make sure that cake cutting is in the timeline and that the caterer, DJ, and photographer are all aware of it. So when you go to cut the cake, let's say, the reason I said you have to ask your cake baker is because what if one of the tiers is styrofoam or is she doesn't want you to mess with it? You'd want to know that. And you don't always know as the client if it's the second or third tier that is the fake tier. And you can't tell. So,
by the way, not every cake has a fake tier, but Christy does Texas, big Texas weddings. And
well, not everyone does. Yeah. So now I'll answer the question. Let's assume you have a classic three-tiered all cake. You cut a small sliver of a triangle, and usually that is on the very bottom tier or the second from the bottom, but it's such a small amount from the side that it won't affect the balance at all. You do not cut all the way through all the tiers where you would get like the kind of piece of cake that you'd want to buy at a Cheesecake Factory. That slice is not what you're going to cut. You're going to cut one that's more like a thin slice of like a triangle of like Swiss cheese you get at Whole Foods or something. Okay. So it's very small. Do it from the bottom or the second the middle if it's a three tier. And then you put that piece on your plate. You both take a bite of it. You get the picture. And usually the caterer then swoops in and takes the whole cake away mm-hmm. to cut it in the back and plate it. And they might have a fee for this. It's called a cake cutting fee or a plating fee if you didn't get the cake from the caterer. I don't usually see bartenders cutting the cake. I have cut a cake myself before. Mm-hmm. And I have also seen a caterer cut it at the actual cake table where it was originally cut, but by then the guests are moving on to like some dancing or something.
That's the least favorable scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. But if it's a small hall or, you know, we don't know what kind of venue this is, then that might, or a small cake, then that might be what you do. Yeah. So if you do not have a caterer there to do it and you do not have a planner, I would assign somebody, ask somebody if they can help with this. They need to bring some gloves and they need to make sure they have a sharp knife. I've seen people try to do this with like a plastic knife before. And it's like, this is, well, who did not think about this? Also, you could maybe watch a YouTube video or something. If you have your aunt Sarah cutting the cake for you, send her a link to be like, this is how to do it. You have to take the top tier off because there's rods in it. And then the second tier, you just slide, you know, a spatula underneath and it should come off. Like, it can be messy. So again, the number one thing I would suggest is to talk to your cake baker specifically about these issues.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Next of her questions, tips on focusing my brain away from the wedding. I want to avoid being a bride that cries because it's all over. And I currently can't barely, focus on work because I'm so close to the day of.
So it's in your head. It's a big thing. It's been taking up a lot of space in your mind for months. And, you know, when it's over, I think it will feel like a relief. It'll feel kind of like a fever dream, like it came and it went and the day goes by so fast. And you'll probably feel a little bit sad about it. I think that's natural and normal. We did do an episode specifically about this. It's called Post-Wedding Day Psychology. You weren't on it, Michelle, but it was with that New York planner,
yes.
Leah.
Yes.
And she's doing like a whole ebook about this, like the psychology of wedding planning, specifically stuff post-wedding when it's like, I'm sad and we did this thing together and now what do we do together?
Right.
You know? So I think expect that you'll be feel a little bit let down or deflated, but focus on the things like photo album making and printing and, you know, getting your photos back and doing something with them. Like, that's a project. And nest. Do some nesting with your new gifts from Zola. Write your thank you notes. Kind of wean yourself off of wedding is my advice. And start to plan the future with your partner now that the wedding is over. You know, you're probably going to need to spend some time saving some money before you can go on another big vacation if you went on a honeymoon. But start to like put some things in place so you have other stuff to look forward to. Just remember that the wedding is a party. That's it. It's just a really awesome party. The marriage is the important part. And it's the exciting part. It takes work and attention and openness. Be present so that you experience all of that after the wedding. Let yourself experience all of that too.
Ditto. Beautiful. Couldn't have said it better myself. I've had a client refer to it as a wedding hangover. You know,
yeah.
Like I don't know what to do. I feel weird when I'm walking around. I feel like I just...
And like wedding withdrawals because you've been used to like going through Pinterest or going through Instagram and looking at everybody's wedding stuff. And then now you kind of feel like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
I feel like I sound, and especially when I'm talking, like a pug, like one of those pugs who like can't breathe
know,
and they're like weirdly snorting and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's actually a good thing.
It is good because it's starting to come out. It's coming,
to come out.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been so sick for like 2 weeks. And so the fact that I'm like, like all over the place, I'm sorry, but
hopefully, that means I'm
hopefully
better.
It's the end. It's the beginning of the end.
Beginning of the end. Okay. Here is her last question. Day of nerves and jitters. How do I avoid this? What do I do? And P.S., it's not the marriage that I've got the nerves and jitters for. It's the wedding.
Yes. I actually love that you have nerves and jitters about it. That nervous, jittery feeling might be something that you actually miss after the wedding, because how often do we have that, really? You're excited. It's anticipatory. All eyes on you. Your big day. I get it. So as far as the day of nerves go, I think you want to put some things in place. Try to design a day. And it does sound like you have done most of the hard work. So this is like the icing on the cake here. This is the little fun stuff you can add on now. Try to design a day, like especially all of the hours in the morning before the ceremony actually starts. Design it so that it is enjoyable and relaxing for you. There are lots of factors that can go into this. So craft that day. Envision those hours now and put plans in place that will help you make like just happiness a reality. Like, what do you get to do on your best days? The days that you're most excited about, the days that you forget about your diet, your computer, your obligations, and you just enjoy the day. It can be as simple as starting out the day with like your favorite donut or a latte from your favorite like special across town place. So make sure that you have the music that you like when you're getting ready, and tell your best friends and your mom, you know, not to let you, whatever, XYZ, whatever you do that you start to spin, tell them ahead of time, like, stop me if you see me doing that. And make sure that you sit down and you eat, and tell your mom to play defense if your cousin Jill comes in and is all negative, like she always is. You know, put some things into place so that you have like that Venn diagram of the day. Like, if this happens, somebody needs to make sure this happens. This is pretty much the only day that you get to draft that Venn diagram exactly to your specific needs. So do that and have some fun with that. You know all of the elements of what makes a day great for you. Try to put things in place ahead of time. And then on the day of, please, dear listener, remember to just roll with it. Take a deep breath, laugh, smile, and just move through it all. It goes by fast. It should be fun.
Very good. Very good.
Philippe, we interviewed somebody, and I don't know if that episode will come out later, but she had a former bride, recent bride, had a great bit of advice that like something's going to go wrong. So when that thing goes wrong, just be like, oh, that was it. It went wrong. And then just move on.
Yeah.
Past that.
Yeah, there's something's going to go wrong, and that was my something.
Yeah, there's some perspective in that. That's good, yeah. Balance.
No, we didn't interview her. She was the Instagram winner.
No, it was Felicia.
Oh, you're last right. Night Never with, mind.
Yeah, we did. We've done a lot of back-to-back recording lately.
Somebody said something and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was poignant. We can barely remember who it was.
Hey, we also want to take a quick moment to shout out Unboring Efficient, the online course that you can purchase for that person who you've asked to be your wedding officiant that isn't a professional wedding officiant, but rather someone you love and respect and want right there standing next to the two of you performing your wedding ceremony. You can go to our website, and then up on the top right corner, there is an Unboring Efficient affiliate link. Click there, and you're going to go to Mark's page and see his face there with our logo. It's amazing, guys, and he's offering a huge discount for our listeners, and we've heard back from you. We've heard back from listeners tell us how amazing this is. So we're so honored to be an affiliate with Mark. And, you know, something that's really important to us and you all should know is that we work very, very hard to always work with affiliates even our guests that we interview Christy especially always vets these people pre having them on our podcast to ask them specifically, are you inclusive? Do you work with LGBTQ couples? You know, looking at their websites, vetting them, and making sure there's somebody that we would want to be affiliated with. And so I'm just saying that because you should know. And it's important to us, and it should be important to you too. So,
and with an ongoing partnership like this with Mark, who runs this, like he's like a kindred spirit with us. Like he, one thing he has in common with us is that he over delivers. Mm-hmm. And that's a quality I like in anybody. I mean, I love it when the donut lady gives me an extra donut when I order, you know, six, whatever. You over deliver, you give a little extra because things are priced well. Like he could be charging more. So yeah, we believe in that part too. You know, you'll get more than you pay for. That's always nice. So let us know if you have questions about that. And now this is the end of the show. So I will ask you in your generous hearts to subscribe on iTunes and rate and review us there if you have subscribed. Those reviews really matter, especially as we try to take this to the next level and find our angel investor to give us a ton of money. He's going to look at those reviews, he or she, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, we're on Facebook, the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and there is a Facebook community group. Just look for TBWPP.
You want to be community. Part of that community. You want it.
Yeah.
It's so
really
good.
Great. And we are in there all the time. We post and we also comment and we make corrections and we go. What's awesome for us is that we go to the community as often, sometimes as we feel like they're coming to us when we have questions about what content you want. Do you have any questions for this guest that's coming up? Send us, you know, your needs.
Yeah.
On Instagram, we are at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We use hashtag plan that wedding. We love seeing your wedding photos. So please DM us after the big day with those and the photographer's credit and we'll share. And on our website, there's the affiliate link that Michelle just mentioned. There's also a search engine. And for every episode, we do show notes. The show notes include links. The show notes are much more detailed than other podcast show notes. So if you have a question about an episode, you'll probably find the answer in the show notes. And also you can sign up for a newsletter on our website to keep in touch with us. And the best way to reach out to us directly is our email, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. We also have a phone number.
415-723-1625. You can call us, leave us a message, ask us a question that we can answer. We'll play your question on the next You Ask, We Answer, or just like leave us some love. We'd love to hear that too and play that on the next You Ask, We Answer.
And special shout out to all of our patrons. Thank you.
You're
so much, all of you. It's not just at the end of the month when we're doing the bonus episodes and the newsletter that we think of you. We are grateful every day. Thank you very much for being a patron. Those of you listening that are, we love you. You're number one. I guess that's it.
Did we mention how someone becomes a patron?
Yeah, but I was thinking like we always say
patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. Yeah.
patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. Seriously, literally, no joke, no shit. $5 a month
is huge.
Goes a long way when there's 200 of you doing that.
Yeah.
Please let there be 200 of you doing that.
Yes.
If we're helping you, that helps us. That's what we should say. We're not too proud
to beg.
Okay.
All right. That's a wrap. Happy planning, everybody. And Christy, love you. Love your show.
Bye.
Bye.